This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and life situations. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. I appreciate the everybody being with me today. This is all about, above-average investing for the average investor. We talk about it every day. So I really appreciate you listening, and we're going to talk about it again, as we always do. Today, we're going to talk about one of our main talking points is going to be about cybersecurity, the solar power, marijuana, even new index. There's a new ETF out there. It's an ETF for ETFs. That's going to be one of our main talking points. So we welcome any questions along the way, any financial questions. Our listener line is 888-99-CHARP. You can call live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday to Friday. And being that it's Friday, our premium newsletter went out to our subscribers like it does every Friday. And if you ever have an interest in it, we'd love to have you. But today I started with the current market conditions, and I mentioned that there was very little economic news out this week on the calendar. You know, every week we get economic news, and this week was pretty light. We did have some inflation numbers and some consumer spending numbers, which were kind of the most important. That came out this morning. So those were the numbers that were of any interest to me, and probably most interesting to anybody who does what I do for a living. It showed that the retail sales went up a little bit. Remember, it fell last month. But they revised last month to a slight increase. So it's showing that the economy, remember, the first quarter did terrible. And the second quarter is starting off a little bit better, but not a lot better, just a little bit better. So, and also there's on our newsletter, we have a section called Stock Ideas. We give a couple of stock ideas every week, every Friday. The portfolio management section, there has been a lot of talk about the Federal Reserve's quantitative easing, QE. Remember all that? QE. We still are very, very loose in our money supply. And some of the biggest criticisms of that was it's going to cause inflation. Yeah, it might help economic growth, but it might also cause inflation. And there's lots of dangers in inflation. Not, we want some inflation, just runaway inflation we've got to be wary of. And then how do you protect the portfolio from that? Any kind of inflation. That's what that portfolio section was about. And finally, there was the, I had some talk about some ideas, consumer section about, have you been aware of the food delivery system? I am not talking about groceries. I'm talking about from a delivery system, a subscription system of buying meals, packages of meals, like Meals on Wheels, but this is gourmet stuff, high-end stuff. That's really taken off. Kind of interesting. Do you have any questions? Maybe you have questions about reverse mortgages. We'd love to hear from you. That was our newsletter that we talked about. And, you know, we always talk about anything financial on the show, in the newsletter, anything financial we want to discuss with you. So if you want to talk about mortgages, we'll talk about them. If you want to talk about helping your aging parents arrange their finances, we'll talk about that. Consumer loans, student loans, you name it. So we'll talk about any of those things. Our number is 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278.
Hi, InvestTalk. I'm an avid listener to your podcast. I was calling with a question about dividends. I wanted to find out how long do you need to own a stock before you're eligible for the dividend. I purchased a couple of stock shares where the dividend was due out within the next couple of days, and obviously I didn't get the dividend share at that point, but I just want to find out how long do I need to own it beforehand in order to obtain that dividend yield. Thank you.
One day. What happens is the CEO or the company announces their dividend, and they have what's called an ex-dividend date. They announce a particular day they're going to pay the dividend. If you own that stock that day, you will get the dividend. You don't have to own it beforehand. You don't have to have a week, a month, a year. No. Only the day of the ex-dividend. You have to own the stock that day. Okay, so don't think you can. A lot of people think, oh, then I'll buy it, collect the dividend, and I'll sell it. And I'll earn the dividend, and I'll make money. No, that's not how it works. Because the stock will go down in price the exact same amount as the dividend. The day that the dividend goes X, or it pays the dividend. So you can't take advantage that way. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. An ETF that invests in ETF. That's going to be one of our main talking points today. We're also going to discuss traits needed to be a successful CEO. I got four traits here, and I think that they pretty much nail it. If you're going to be successful, you got to have these skills. And everybody's on the Fed watch for increasing rates. And well, the Philadelphia Fed president mentioned it today, and I thought we'd talk about what he stated in his speech. Women are expected to control 2/3 of private wealth in about 3 years. 2/3. Do you know how many women women money managers there are? Hardly, very few. Why is that? So we're going to talk about that. And that's going to be what we're going to discuss. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Talk about anything financial. Love to discuss it, so give me a call. 888-99-CHART. The market was mixed today. The Dow down 26. The NASDAQ was up 5. And the S&P was down 4. So it's kind of a flat week. Not much excitement in the market. And I will beg to I think the market has been flat or weak for some time. Yeah, you had two really good days last week. But ever since March, the very beginning of March, we're almost exactly the way we were from March, April, and now here we are, the 12th of May? Almost exactly the way we were March 1st to today. March 1st, by the way, was a high in the market. Was a high. So there's not been much action at all. Most of that action in between March 1st and today has been kind of on the weak side. And there's only those 2 days. 2 days, was it last week or the week before, that the market rose. I mean, if any, like 100 points, 100 plus points a day. So, been kind of boring. Kind of boring. And we're going into May, and you know that old saying, go away in May, and there's a reason for that. So just, I think you just need to be cautious. That's all. I'm not telling you to get out of market. I'm not getting out of market. But it is time to be cautious. So be cautious with your money, everybody. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. This is our Friday edition of Invest Talk. This weekend, why not take our 3-minute risk analysis little test? It's really easy. It's fast. It's free. It only takes a few minutes. Only a few questions. 888-99-CHART. You take that by going to investtalk.com, by the way. It's right there on the front page. So we're live. Listener line 888-992-4278. 4 to 5 Pacific time. Give me a call.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I absolutely love your show. I listen daily. I have a question about a specific that I am looking to buy. DRX, Valeant Pharmaceuticals. It looks like they might be growing again, but they went on a very, very, very long tumble, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are on this stock. It's looking pretty inexpensive. Please let me know. Thank you so much.
Okay, Valeant Pharmaceuticals, headquartered out of Lava, Quebec, it looks like, develops branded drugs in the areas of dermatology, neurology, and eye health, and over-the-counter products. It is a $4.7 billion company, so it's a drug company. It's going to make $3.71 this year. That's way down from last year's $5.47. And way down from the high of the year before, $8. And that's why it is falling. It has fallen from $263 all the way down to $8. Can you believe that? And then starting about almost at the beginning of May, at the end of April, it started up. Now it's at $13.59. So the PE was really low. It's going to make $4, and stock is $13.59. That's what? 3 PE? 4 PE? 3 point something PE? That's very, very low. Return on equity is 42%. So why is it so low? What has been the problem? Well, went from $8 a share in 2015, earnings of $8 a share, down to $4 a share in 2018. That's why it got crushed. Now, is it in, your question is it turning around? Has it turned itself around? Is it cheap enough? And the answer, I think, is probably, yeah, it's probably cheap enough. But you need to go back and find out why those sales and those earnings tumbled. Why? And is that story over? One of the things that is a big red flag to me is it has a huge amount of debt. That might be a big red flag for you. Check out the debt level. Find out why it fell so, earnings fell so sharply. And if it has turned around, this would be a great place to be a buy on this stock. Okay, but I would check those two things out very carefully before I buy. Debt and sales. Why did they fall? What was the problem? And the, you know, earnings went from $8 to $4. What happened? Why? But it does look like a good value at this stage. It really does. And it looks like it's coming off its low and been moving up quickly the last few days. You'll probably get back some of this most recent recent move before you want to move into the stock, be my opinion. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk about the ETF that buys ETFs. I want you to know I'm not overly keen on ETFs, on this ETF. Just like anything else, there's way too many ETFs out there now. I mean, remember, ETFs track indexes or slivers of the market or any kind of part of the market, and they've become very, very popular. How many do you really need? Hundreds and hundreds of them? Some of them are not very, trade very lightly. How many do we need out there? And so here's an ETF that's buying other ETFs. And I'm just like, why don't you just buy the other ETFs directly? There's a point where ETFs are great when it comes to diversification. They really are. They're great for getting you into a particular sliver of the market that you're interested in, and they give you very good diversification. So those are very good things, and they're cheaper than most mutual funds. I like all that. I like ETFs. But there's a point where, now wait a minute, why buy an ETF that, what this ETF does, there's ETFs that are buying the makers and managers of ETFs. I don't see it. There's too many of them, in my opinion. I mean, there's no, why not just buy, anyways, I don't want to beat that into ground. That's what I would do. I would not be interested. It's like buying a mutual fund that buys mutual funds. Why? Buy the mutual funds it buys, then. You don't need extra more diversification. It doesn't work that way. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, everybody. 888-99-CHART is how you can reach me right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time. Any money questions, welcome. You can do it right now.
Hey, Steve or Justin. This is Raul from Flower Mound. I was calling because the recent Berkshire Hathaway meeting just kind of got me thinking. I've been looking at some of the stocks that they're holding, and they bought Apple when it was close to 90, and it's gone up 154, and Berkshire Hathaway stock has gone down a little bit. I was wondering if you guys would consider Berkshire Hathaway a good buy now, Class A shares, or if you think you are getting a value since they bought it at such a low level. Now their stock is down, their price is down a little bit. They still are holding Apple at now the higher level. And certainly they're holding much more than just Apple, but mostly I just wanted to see if you thought Berkshire Hathaway was a good buy at this point. Thank you and appreciate your show. Bye-bye.
Well, Berkshire Hathaway, of course, Warren Buffett's company, has notoriously always been overvalued. Why? Because of Berkshire Hathaway, because of Warren Buffett owning the company, running the company. So the question is, you know, you're going to have to play this in like a mutual fund, okay? Because he owns so many different companies inside Berkshire Hathaway. So personally, I think you need to wait for a correction. I think that a correction will make this, will bring this down further. It has fallen from a high, the Class A shares, from like $265 to 200, I'm sorry, from 26,500 to 24,500 approximately per share. Now, that's why you go for the Class B shares. They're much more reasonable price, still owning Berkshire Hathaway. But, you know, it's gone down, but, and it may, this may be the, maybe is all it's going to give, but give back, but I don't think so. Berkshire Hathaway is one of those stocks that, you remember, you treat it like a mutual fund. You buy it when it's really cheap. And it has been cheap over the years every so often. Now, if we get a more a deeper, we get a deep correction, this would be ideal to buy this because it's like a diversified mutual fund, that, but it's actually a stock. So I'd wait. I would not be overly anxious to get in it at this point. I would not. BRK is a symbol, by the way. BRK.A and BRK.B, the A shares or B shares. The B shares sell much cheaper than the A shares, but they're still, you know, costly. Costly. Anyways, that's Berkshire Hathaway. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Traits of a successful CEO. Four of them. And it was kind of interesting. It was an article, of course, I was reading recently, and they were talking about, you know, what good successful CEO does. And one of the traits is make fast decisions with conviction. And think about that. Have you ever met anybody who makes a decision and then defends that decision even if it's wrong? And they said that's what makes a good CEO. Someone with conviction, someone who makes decisions pretty quickly and makes them decisively. Well, the flip side of that, what if he's wrong? But I do think a good CEO will make good decisions and quickly. Next one, underpromise and overdeliver. Well, that's almost any business person, almost any transaction. You underpromise and overdeliver. But remember, these are traits of CEOs. Next one, know how to form productive relationships. That is kind of key to me. You know, when you're working with people or you're working with a group of people, remember, a CEO, he can't know everything. He can't do everything. But he has to learn to make teams of people who can work together efficiently to get things done. And here's one that's very difficult, especially as you get older. Adjust proactively to change, because it's always changing. Think of the massive changes the internet has brought on the last 10, 15 years. Massive changes in how business is conducted. So I thought those traits were pretty right on as far as what is needed. A good CEO, a good manager, almost anybody who follows these kinds of traits will probably be pretty successful in life. Let's go to Robert in Pleasanton. How you doing, Robert?
Doing well. How about you, Steve?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Hey, I follow some of the home builder stocks, and one stock that just seems to continue to go up nonstop is NVR.
Okay.
I'm wondering what your opinion is about that company.
Okay, they build single-family home, detached home, townhomes, condominiums, and 14 states. It's a $8.1 billion size company, so it's pretty good size. They consistently have been growing quarter after quarter in the 10, 12, 13% range. A year ago, it was a little bit more growth than that, but they're still consistently growing, and they're going to make $129 a share this year, after making $103 a share last year. Next year, $152. The reason why it's consistently going up is because the numbers are consistently going up. Does not have a lot of debt. Management owns 11%. So it's one of those companies that look very healthy. As long as the housing market is doing well. And I will tell you this, Robert, I think the housing market is going to continue to do well for at least another year or two. So buy this one when you get it. If you ever get a pullback, buy it. I would. Okay? Appreciate the call, Robert. Thank you. Don't forget, we need you to do some of the talking, not just me. So let's hear your money question on investing, or maybe just want to talk about investing in period. We'll talk about that. This is Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial and your 401k. Many of our clients and listeners are invested in their employer's 401k plan, and in the past, it's been very difficult to provide timely information and suggestions for these types of accounts. Well, here's a program that changes that. It's called Active 401k, and it helps you take a proactive approach to managing your employer's retirement program. Here's how it works. Active 401k ranks your current 401k investment options within your employer's specific plan based on current trends and long-term performance. And then it builds a portfolio that fits your personal risk tolerance, selected from the plan's available options. If you'd like to know more about it, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Investments tab, and then look for Active 401k. Now let's get back to the podcast. Invest Talk continues, and on our May 15th Invest Talk, selections include safe returns with government securities and insurance investments, making the best of low-risk investments. That's on Monday's Invest Talk, but you can still get through with your topic today. Call us at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, I'm calling with a question about American Renal Associates, ARA. They had a release of their first quarter earnings report 2 days ago after the market closed, which had a projected earnings per share of 10 cents. It came in below that at 6 cents per share. To my surprise, the next day the stock was up 5%, and today it's up so far about 13%. The stock had been hammered down some recently, so it seems that may have been priced in, but it is up so much, it seems particularly irrational behavior. I was wondering if you could help explain why you think this has occurred. Love the show. Thanks for all the advice. Bye.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to explain, even though it's confusing to a lot of people, and it's totally understandable why it's confusing. When stocks come out with their earnings, usually it's already, the market's already reacted to the bad news before they even announce it. They kind of know where they're going. A lot of people know, and it's not insider trading or anything. It's just that if the good news is, we think it's going to be good news of all the research everybody does, it's kind of known already, and it was already known that they wouldn't make their numbers. So the stock has already been down because of it. So when they announced that they didn't, remember, investors are always looking forward. So the investors, if you look at the announcements, that looks more positive going forward, and it's trading on that eventual possibility. Stocks always trade looking in the windshield, never in the rearview mirror. So, and they're always, you know, there's some old sayings about stocks reacting before news comes out. And then you as an investor have to just understand that. So what's happened here, this is, by the way, ARA, American Renal Association. It's a small cap company, only $559 million. And its sales growth fell in March pretty significantly, only growth of 3%. Before that, it was growing 14 to 15% per quarter. So the stock has fallen way back last July. People were getting a little suspicious that sales were getting soft. And that's exactly what happened. They're going to make 66 cents per share next year. And it's an $18 stock. So it's still expensive. It's still expensive. It's not cheap. This IPO'd, by the way, in June of 2016. IPO'd at $22 a share, and today it's $18. This is very normal for an IPO to be trading 6 months to a year after it comes out below its IPO price. That's the norm. The norm, not unusual. Now, I would say this. At $16, this stock looks like a bargain because that's where it seems to fall on a chart and find lots of support. Now, you're going to have to live with a lot of volatility if you want to buy this. It's going to be very, very volatile. I probably would not buy it because it's still too expensive for me. Let's go to Frank in Danville. How you doing, Frank?
Hey, Steve. Happy Friday to you.
Thank you. Thanks for the call, Dan. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. I was wondering if you had a favorite metric to use as far as if a stock is undervalued, overvalued, or fairly valued. And, you know, there's different ratios. PE is probably one of the most common. Mm-hmm. But then there's also price to book, enterprise value to revenue, enterprise value to EBITDA. Mm-hmm.
I don't have one favorite, but I have several that I like the best, and that is return on equity, return on assets, profit margins, and cash flow, free cash flow. Those are things that I like to watch closely. The P is good and instructive, but it's very common. Everybody already knows it. It's all well known. The price to book, price to sales, those are all very important too. But they're not the ones that I favor the most, as that was your question. It would be return on equity, return on assets, profit margins,
right,
and free cash flow. Okay?
Okay.
Frank,
did you ever do discounted cash flow, DCF calculation?
I actually do, yes. Mm-hmm. Do that quite often. Yes. On every stock I research that I want considered to buy, I do it. Frank, appreciate the question.
Okay.
Yeah, Frank is asking some pretty specific questions, more for the more sophisticated investor. Good for him. Appreciate it. Let's go to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you can look at CLDR, and it's a new IPO, but what's your opinion, please?
Okay, it is really new. It came out at $15 a share, 2-3 weeks ago?
Right.
And today it's at $20.80. The odds are this CLDR, everybody, it develops platform for data management, machine learning, and advanced analytics. It's a $2.7 billion company that makes no money, and sales is growing very fast, about 45 to 60% per quarter. And the most recent quarter, they made $72 million. I think that the stock is probably way overpriced. Since it doesn't have any earnings and no prospects of earnings yet, I wouldn't buy it. And it will probably, 6 months, a year from now, be trading under $15 a share. Because that's normal for IPOs.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Remember, IPOs, you know, all the excitement about IPOs coming out, oh, that's great, but they're almost always overpriced. Now, some of them, like, I don't know, Google and Facebook, maybe deserve the overpriced IPO. But the vast majority of them that are not exciting and not well-known and not very very much in the public eye, they usually fall. It's normal. Remember, 6 months after the IPO, 6 months after it, the insiders can start selling their own stock to realize profits. After years and years and years of developing the company, the founders can sell their stock. They can finally cash in, and they usually do. So try to bear that in mind. Be very careful of IPOs. We never buy them because of that risk. Fed watch. We're all watching the Fed. They've stated that they were going to raise their rates 3 times this year. The Philadelphia Fed recently had a speech a couple days ago, and he says he sees at least 2 hikes more this year. This year, he thinks that the economy is stable enough and expects the GDP to grow for the whole year to be at 2.3%. 2.3%. That is not good, by the way. You know, it's okay, but it's not good. Our long-term average for the last, I don't know, 40, 50 years is a little over 3%. We have not seen that since the recovery of the most recent recession in 2008, an annual GDP of 3%. We haven't seen it. So you're getting a lot of evidence, maybe not factual evidence because the Fed doesn't always tell the truth, but they are telling us in many different ways, telegraphing us that they're going to raise rates more than once, probably two times or maybe even three times this year. Maybe. Now, why are they raising rates? We don't have inflation. We don't have an overheated economy. There's no reason for them to raise rates to fight inflation or to slow down the overheated economy so that we don't get inflation. So why are they raising rates? The only reason is because interest rates are so very low, abnormally low. That's the only reason why they are raising the rates. Now, they need to get them up to a more normal rate, which would be about 3%, by the way, and the rate's about 1%, a little less than 1% now. And this is the only one rate they control is the overnight bank lending rate, the money they lend to banks. The reason why it is so very low because of that deep financial recession we had to try to spark the economy. Everybody in the world, every central bank, did the quantitative easing, meaning buying bonds, getting interest rates, making their currency low, pushing down interest rates, and that really hurt those people who have saved money for their retirement because now they had to take more and more risk. And what did that do? Pushes up the stock market, so push up the market, low interest rates, more money flooding around in the system, pushing up stock prices. And so the Fed now has to be very careful in how it pulls out that liquidity out of the economy. It doesn't want to affect the economy, but it wants to pull out some of that liquidity by raising interest rates so it can have a higher rate to fight the next recession. How do you fight recessions? The Fed fights recession by lowering interest rates. Well, if it's already at zero, how are you going to lower it? You can try to go to negative, and look how that didn't help any of those European countries that went negative. It hurts the economy. It doesn't help it. Now, our Invest Talk Insider program is a source of up-to-the-minute news. Today, these stories are being featured from MarketWatch, Economic Report, U.S. Consumer Prices Rebound in April. Also from the same publisher, Believing These Five Stock Market Myths Will Cost You Money. And from Motley Fool, Will Increasing Your Credit Limit Hurt Your Credit Score? And there's plenty more where they came from. We have lots of really good articles flowing through on our website. You can join in, become an insider. It's free. Just go to investtalk.com, select the Invest Talk tab, and then Invest Talk Insider.
Steve sets aside time each month to talk with our listeners on a one-to-one basis, offering a second opinion about their retirement portfolios, offering some ideas and solutions too. It can be done on Skype or by telephone from anywhere in the U.S. And if you live in Southern California, Steve will be meeting with listeners at our Dana Point office in Southern Orange County on May 25th. If you'd like to reserve your own hour with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review.
Hi, my name's Susan. I'm just starting investing. I had lost some with a big brokerage firm, so I thought I'd do it on my own this time. And I wanted to know about these online stockbrokers. Are they safe? It just seems really simple. And just wondering if there's a catch to it all. Thank you very much. Bye.
Very good question. The answer is it is simple and it is safe and there's no catch. Now let me now put a but in there. But make sure if you go on using an online bank brokerage firm, whoever the custodian is of your money, if it's the brokerage firm, in other words, they're holding on to your money, make sure they're SIPC insured, S-I-P-C insured. Okay, that's where your safety will come in. They're insured, so they can't steal your money. Or their employees can't steal your money. SIPC insurance is the key. Most of the crooks out there that in my business are not SIPC insured. And you got to make sure, understand your understanding the difference between a brokerage firm and a custodian. Now, the brokerage firm can be the custodian, but not necessarily. The custodian could be a separate company from the brokerage firm. So just make sure whoever is holding on to your money, whoever is the custodian of your money, is SIPC insured. That's the only but I have with it. But online brokerage, no problem with them. Discount brokerage, that's where I suggest you go, to a discount brokerage. Why pay full price to make trades if you're going to do it on your own? Now, be very, very careful. The market is very risky. Always has been, always will be. So just be careful. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. We had very little economic news, as I said earlier in the show, out this week. But we had retail sales. Retail sales were up 0.4% for the month of April. And that was much better than the month before, where it shrank a little bit. So they had a rebound. But 0.4% is decent, but don't think it's all that strong. Inflation came in at about 0.3%. And that's also not that bad, but it was better than it was the month before, which was shrinkage. So the first month of the second quarter of this year is starting off a little bit better, at least the economic numbers we're seeing, than the first quarter. Remember, the first quarter GDP was 0.7% growth, 0.7. That's really not very good. Do you remember what the third and fourth quarter of last year was? It's 2% and 3%. 2% and 3% in those two quarters. And then so here you have followed that with a 0.7% growth. That's not a good direction. We need to have, now almost all experts, including the Fed and everybody else, is pointing to much better numbers in the second quarter. Everybody's pointing to much better numbers in the second quarter, and so we'll see. I think we will get better numbers. But will we ever return to 3% plus growth GDP in the United States? I mean, we're talking multi-years now. We haven't seen it. It seems pretty weak to me. We got to turn that around. Really got to turn that around. Maybe if Trump is successful reducing taxes and spending some infrastructure money, maybe we'll see some better growth. I don't know. You're listening to Invest Talk. Your calls are very important. Questions, your comments, they are our first priority. I would love to hear from you. We still can fit you in the last part of the program, 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Joe in San Jose. How you doing, Joe?
Fine. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have a question about Nutanix, NTNX, wondering what you think of it. I'm looking to buy.
Okay. Provides. This is a fairly new company, IPO'd, in December of 2016 or so, something like that. It provides enterprise cloud platform that converges server, virtualization, storage, and integrated solutions. It's a $2 billion company. It is not making any money. It's going to lose $1.04 next year, losing $1.49 this year. Sales are growing very fast, about 70-80%. So it's a stock that everybody's anticipating will eventually do very well because sales are growing so fast. Now, it IPO'd at $16, but the first trade was almost, $28, $29, $30. So it might have IPO'd at $16, but the first trade was much higher. And today it's back to $16.36. This is probably, Joe, where you would be a buyer of it if you thought that it had a great future because of the sales growth. I mean, on a chart, this is probably where you'd want to be a buyer. But I'm not so sure the company is all that. I don't like buying companies that don't make money, so it wouldn't be for me. Okay, Joe? But good luck with it. I hope it works for you. Nutrinex, Inc. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Peter in Vallejo. How you doing, Peter?
Hey, not too bad. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Hey, my question is,
question is, I don't have a lot of success in investing in stocks. Most of my investments have been in real estate.
Okay.
I want to know more about how to invest properly in stocks, but I don't feel I have a good foundation for that.
Okay.
Can you recommend a book or a website or a video or something like that?
Yeah.
Give me a couple hours of the basics of what I should be looking for.
Okay. There are a number of places. One of the best places on the web is Investopedia.com. Investopedia.com. They have a number.
Okay.
They have a number of little tutorials in there about buying and selling stocks. So that's a good place to start. There's some good books out. There's some good beginner books out there. It's always difficult because the subject is so broad. My book is pretty good, I think, for beginners. It's called Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. There's also Beating the Street and One Up on Wall Street. There's a book list on our website that we have for a lot of books that we have. So those would be a good places to start. Okay?
Okay. I'll do Investopedia and Beating.
Beating the Street. And then another one called One Up on Wall Street. Those are beginner books and give you an overview of how things work. Okay?
One Up on Wall Street. Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks for the call, Peter. Appreciate it. Let's go to Paul in San Jose. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, Steve, what a great show.
Thank you.
You make an old man feel good every day. Listen, what I want to know, I'm thinking about either buying Nordstrom's for Macy's, and I know you're kind of down on both these retailers.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about jumping in right now. What do you think?
What
you pick?
Now, you know why I'm down on them, right, Paul? It's not because they're bad companies or whatever, but they're getting beat up by the Internet, by Amazon, by online sales. And Macy's and Nordstrom's, they're very good stores, but they're really having a hard time. And I don't think they've come up.
I can't keep my daughter or my granddaughters or my wife out of there.
I know. But how much do they buy online?
I don't know. You know, I just thought I'd take a chance because Macy's really took a hit.
Yeah, they did. And that goes to my point that they took a hit because their sales went down. Why did their sales go down? Because they lose sales to online. What happened is your daughter and your wife and your nieces and nephews, they go to the store, they see what they want, they go out of the store, they buy it online.
Do you think a good entry point would be?
Not yet, because they're coming at, they're getting new lows. You got to wait till the stop's going down. You got to wait for a bounce. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Appreciate it, Paul. Thank you very much. Our hour's up, everybody. I thank you for listening and joining in today. You can reach me directly with a question or comment. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. And I will get back to you. I'm good at it. There's a couple I missed, but only because I have so many. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. And we'll do it again next week.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.